The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride.
Monarch Nation, welcome to another Victory Sunday with the Monarchist. We are pleased to welcome former Old Dominion quarterback and one of three quarterbacks to have beaten Virginia Tech, Mr. Hayden Wolf. How you doing, Hayden?
Good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, Mike, before you get started with anything, I think we have to allow Hayden the opportunity to welcome Colton Joseph into the fraternity of Hokie Killers.
I love it. The list grows by one. Colton, he's playing out of his mind right now. I'm really happy for him and all the guys and what they're doing. I don't think the train's going to stop. I'm sure there'll be other quarterbacks to get added. I'm not sure when the next time we play Virginia Tech is, but, you know, it's a great day to be a Monarch and it's a bad day to be a Hokie. So, I'm sure that list will grow, continue to grow.
Absolutely. Old Dominion wins 45-26. But before we get into this game, I think we should ask Hayden what is going on in his life now that he is past his football days. So, Hayden, what are you up to now and where are you at?
So, I currently live in Michigan. I stuck around in Kalamazoo where Western Michigan is. I've had a lot going on in the past couple months. I started my first job. I graduated with my master's. Got engaged, so I'm now planning a wedding. Bought my first car. So in the last 3 months, I've had, you know, a bunch of different life-altering moments, but can't complain. Life is good. You know, I play golf 3 or 4 days a week. I'm shooting low right now, so that's always a good thing. But no, I can't complain at all. I'm really just enjoying having a fall where I'm not, you know, constantly stressed or putting pressure on myself.
Well, congratulations on all those things, especially your engagement. But I'm not going to ask a question here because I know Mike probably really wants to ask a question about golf. He's a golf aficionado, and when you're talking about golfing and shooting low, I saw Mike's eyes light up.
Hey, man, 3 to 4 days a week is something that I'm working for to get there eventually, but it's going to probably take retirement to get there. So that's awesome. Very jealous.
Yeah, I'm in a lucky spot right now for sure with not a whole lot of responsibilities other than, you know, working during the day and spending time with my lady.
And you're in a great area for golf. Michigan is just one of the best states in the country for golf. I don't think people realize that.
Yeah, it's definitely a sleeper state when it comes to golf. You know, as you guys know, I'm from Florida and it's not bad golf down there, but, you know, the Midwest is impressive. I'm actually heading back home from a golf trip. I was in Madison, Wisconsin for the last couple days on a golf trip with my buddy. And I mean, just beautiful courses everywhere up in the Midwest. So definitely lucky and fortunate to be able to kind of enjoy those for the next couple of years.
So Mike, I'm not even sure where we want to start here, dude. I mean, last week we used the breaking news for the first time and, you know, it really is breaking news today too, but we're not going to use that. Where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, while we have Hayden, we have this special opportunity to ask him about what it was like to beat Virginia Tech. Because me and you know what it's like as a fan, but we don't know what it's like as a player.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think that's one I'll never forget. You know, it's one of those games for me where I'll never forget the feeling and the excitement afterwards, but I also want to forget the game, if that makes sense. That was, you know, that obviously it's always good to come out with a win. That's the goal of every game. But for me personally, I didn't play well in that game, and I was frustrated by that. But the fact that, you know, we were able to come together as a team and get it done is all that mattered. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to remember – you know, my stats from that game, hopefully in 20 years or whatever, you know, hopefully it's always just a good thing to look back on the fact that we won. But I mean, I'll tell you, it was just an unbelievable feeling in the locker room after the game, on the field with the crowd rushing, to beat a team with the resources that they have, You know, it's in the state of Virginia, they've been, you know, typically the best team in the state for a long time. And, you know, to be Old Dominion beating Virginia Tech, getting paid to beat them, it makes it a little sweeter than some of the other ones.
Let's talk a little bit more about that game. That was an interesting game on a number of different fronts. Obviously, in retrospect, we know a lot of things that happened, the old lore of the elevator and Hudson, you know, getting brought to national prominence there. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, leading into that game and kind of the your thought process and preparation for that particular event.
Yeah, there was, you know, as to be expected, there was a lot of hype going into that game. You know, Virginia Tech coming to Old Dominion, the last time they had stepped on our field was in 2018, I believe. I was actually a recruit in high school at that game when Blake LaRussa and those guys, you know, put the beat down on Virginia Tech when they were ranked number 13. So I think there was a lot of buildup and anticipation for the Hokies to come back to Norfolk. And I think for us, you know, it was not an easy camp. You know, our offensive coordinator stepped away or got fired or whatever you want to call it 2 weeks before we played, you know, our first game against Virginia Tech at home. And so that, you know, added a unique dimension. You know, we're 2 weeks out from the game with no offensive coordinator by title. So I think the buildup and the anticipation is for that game was massive, especially compared to some of the other first games I've been a part of.
Now, you mentioned it. Looking back at your career, you had a different OC essentially every year you were at Old Dominion. And the only one person I can really compare that to is Jason Campbell. And we know you had the talent, but that had to have made your tenure at Old Dominion much harder, having to learn to communicate with an OC, a different OC each year, trying to figure out what their expectations are, and then mastering the playbook. That couldn't have been easy.
Yeah, I think part of that is normal in today's college football. You know, there's so much turnover in the players, the coaches, you know, the support staff, that it's not uncommon for that to be a situation. You know, I had 7 coordinators in my 6-year career. Some years I had multiple coordinators. You know, I think 5 playbooks with those 7 coordinators. So pretty much every year was a new system. And yeah, my career might have been a little different if there was some consistency in the playbook. But at the end of the day, I can't complain because it set me up for where I am now. You know, I'll always be able to adapt to new leadership or, you know, a new boss or a new teammate or, you know, any adversity as it relates to, you know, something around me changing, a new environment. All those things really just set me up to be successful as I continue on with what I'm doing now.
If I were to force you to pick your favorite, your most memorable moment at Old Dominion, what would it be?
I think my favorite moment, and not specifically one single game, I would say in 21 when we were 1-6 and we won 5 straight, made a bowl game. You know, even though we lost that bowl game to Tulsa, they had multiple draft picks on their team. I think the fact that we were able to pull together 5 wins in a row with our backs against the wall and played really well in that 5-game stretch, that's, you know, that doesn't happen often in college football. I'm sure that hasn't happened that many times in the history of the game. So that's by far my favorite, you know, memory from Old Dominion is just how we were able to pull it together, you know, as a young quarterback in that moment. That was, you know, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that feeling.
Now, quarterbacks often talk about their relationship with their receivers and their offensive line. You and Ollie Jennings and Zach Kuntz seem to have a great connection. Talk to us about that and the difficulties of kind of getting to that point with a new receiver or tight end.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, they made us go for really a year and a half, you know, from 21 to 22. And I think, you know, part of our rough season in 22 was the fact that both of those guys were hurt. You know, we didn't have Kuntz or Ollie for the last 7-8 games of the 2022 season. You know, that's reflected in our record. I think having guys like that on your team in a group of 5 level, like the Sun Belt, you know, they're difference makers because it puts so much pressure on the defense to have to game plan for those two catching passes in addition to, you know, somebody like Blake in the backfield and Elijah Davis in the backfield. It's a lot of pressure for a group of five defensive coordinators. So, you know, they made my life a lot easier. You know, at the end of the day, it was really just give them a chance to make a play, and they did a lot of it.
All right, Hayden. I don't know how long we have you, but did you get a chance to check out much of the game yesterday? I know you're on the road and you're busy with your trip.
Oh, yeah, of course. I had a big day yesterday. I had college football on the golf cart going from 11 a.m. until when we finished around 8. And Old Dominion was the game of the hour for the back nine on my second round. So, I watched, you know, I would say probably 75% of it. Once it got out of hand is when I flipped it off and started checking out some other games.
I do have two more things I want to cover before we jump into tech. So one is, I believe you're the first NIL athlete at Old Dominion history. You signed that deal with Dirty Buffalo, right?
Yes, I did. Yep.
So I kind of want to ask you, how crazy is it to go from like 2019 when you're a freshman and none of this is allowed to last year where we're starting to bring in this new revenue era where the schools are actually allowed to pay players?
It's a different world. You know, because it's funny, in my old, you know, I call myself old now in college football because I was, you know, by the time I finished. But I started in college before NIL, and I finished as it was really starting to pick up. So I saw both ends of it. I saw how that led to more turnover within the team, how it led to, you know, more pressure for some guys and boosters and, you know, I would say programs as a whole. You know, it's all about how much money you can get if you're some schools, because that's how you get good players now, you know, especially at the Power Four level, which also puts more pressure on the group of five, you know, because if a Power Four team is recruiting the same kid that we are as a group of five, you know, at the end of the day, the kid's going to usually pick who's offering more money. So it's an added dimension to college football. I think that as it continues to evolve, there'll be more rules and regulations in place, because it's definitely a little bit out of hand now with guys moving around and getting paid, you know, $10 or $12 million as 18-year-old, you know, kids coming into college who haven't proven anything yet.
And before Mike asks this last question, Mike, I hope this isn't stealing your question. It's something that we've asked a number of the guys, especially the current student athletes. Not sure if you're a big video game guy, but with college football and name and image and likeness of you guys getting into the games, are you a gamer? And if so, were you playing yourself? Do you think they did you justice?
You know, I actually never played the college football game. I'm not much of a video game guy at all. I don't own a console or anything. I've received a lot of messages from, you know, buddies, friends, people that I know from home that, you know, it'd be like, dude, you just threw for 800. We just threw for 800 yards and 10 touchdowns against Alabama. You know, so it's funny. It's unique. It's cool to say that I was able to get back in the first game since it, you know, kind of restarted. I think, you know, someday a long time from now, when I have kids, it'll be cool to look back on and allow them to, you know, play with me in the video game. But, you know, me personally, I never really got into it.
All right, then this will be my last question. So you had the opportunity at Old Dominion to go on the road against some ACC opponents like Wake Forest. How different of a perspective change is that when you go from these Sun Belt stadiums that are all like 20,000 to these huge stadiums like Lane, where there's just a lot more people, there's a lot more distractions? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think my mindset personally going into those stadiums is, you know, aside from the guys in the locker room and the close fans like yourselves, nobody really expects you to win, you know. So for me, that was always, you know, it's kind of like a play stress-free, you know. At the end of the day, the only people who expect us to win is our team. The only people who believe in us is our team and our fans. So there's nothing to lose. You know, some of those environments and some of the ones I played in, even when I, in the last 2 years at Western Michigan, they're hostile. You know, there's people flicking you off on the bus, on the ride in, and, you know, saying things to you on the sideline. But I kind of always try to treat it as, you know, just let it loose. Lucky, I was fortunate and lucky to be able to play in some of those big time stadiums and big time games. And it's you can't ask for anything more as a competitor to be playing against bigger schools with more eyes on you.
All right, we ready to get into this game now, Mike?
Yes, sir. So, I mean, Aaron, we had a lot of predictions that came out true yesterday.
Surprisingly, because I'm wrong just about every week, but I mean, kind of purposely, but yeah. But hey, we hit a lot.
You're 2-1 on the season now.
I know, man. What can I say? You know, it's good.
But the one I'm most proud of is we bookended Brent Pry's career with two losses to Old Dominion. His first loss, his last loss. And I predicted we would get him fired. And today they announced he is fired. Obviously, it sucks that the guy has to go find a new job and all that. But I'm proud of Old Dominion and what they accomplished yesterday in a very difficult atmosphere that they took over and ran those people out of the building. That place was empty in the fourth quarter.
You mean like that?
Yeah.
It was brutal. They showed on the broadcast. Matter of fact, the announcers showed pregame where all the, you know, the Tech fans have their little pom-poms and they're getting ready and they're doing their let's go Hokies or whatever. And then they flash to this with everybody walking out. When you have the announcers talking smack on that, you know it's bad.
Let's talk about this team's performance. This might be the most well-rounded performance by an Old Dominion football team we've seen. Offense was dynamite. Defense was dynamite. Special teams was awesome. I mean, there's not many places to look for issues right now from that game.
No, I'd ask Hayden, like, what surprised you most about this game and what you got to watch? Was there anything that like really stuck out to you?
I wouldn't say surprise. I think you guys hit it on the head, though. I mean, that was complete domination in all three phases, which, you know, that me personally, that's the most complete game I've ever seen, you know, for Old Dominion team. Very impressive. I think Coach Ronnie, Coach Seiler, and Coach Decker did a tremendous job getting those guys ready because that it was night and day. You know, Virginia Tech, it's not even that Virginia Tech looked bad. I just think they were overwhelmed by Old Dominion flying around, building off momentum, making big plays, big throws, you know, executing. It was really impressive to watch.
It felt like with our alignments and our tempo, we were keeping them off center all game long because we were giving them a ton of different looks. We'd speed them up. We'd slow them down. Like, it just felt like they couldn't get into a groove because we were controlling everything, at least on offense.
Yeah, I think what I personally believe what Colton offers as a quarterback is perfect for that system that they're running right now. I think it puts a lot of pressure on the defense because they have to respect his ability to run. And with how wide Old Dominion uses their receiver splits, it puts you in a massive bind because you either got to respect the run or you got to respect the pass. And Colton throws a really nice deep ball. And it seems to me they have some really good athletes outside. So, you know, you put those two things together with those talented running backs, that's really, really a tough thing to stop for any defense.
So last week, Mike, we talked about, we said, hey, what if we get up 14-0? Will the fans start filtering out? Is that too early? Based upon the reports that we got from guys in the stands like Gary and Jonathan and those folks, people started leaving early, which is huge, especially in a place like Lane where the fans in that atmosphere, that is part of what makes it difficult to play there. And yeah, I think that folks were ready to tap out, and they did.
Yeah, we jumped all over them. I mean, we go up, I think, 14-0. And then we get an interception on Jerome Carter, gets a great pick off Jones, which I don't understand why they didn't just keep running the ball on us. Why do you go away from the run? Like, they had control on offense when they were running the ball.
Yeah, Hayden, what's your take on that, man?
I personally believe, I think they were trying to do anything they could to just get something moving. I think they felt the pressure of, you know, the Old Dominion offense and how well they were playing, that I wonder if their coaches thought, you know, if we're going to have to throw it to keep ourselves in this game, because otherwise it was going to get out of hand. You know, it was kind of one-dimensional in that aspect. And I personally thought the defense was flying around for Old Dominion, you know, creating turnovers, negative plays, really all the things you, as an offense for Virginia Tech, as many things went wrong as possibly could have went wrong. And that's because of how Old Dominion was playing. So I don't know if you guys kind of feel the same way there.
I mean, yeah, I imagine during your career, there's probably certain games that you feel relatively early that this may just not be our night. And it kind of, as a fan watching this, it felt like that's what was happening to Virginia Tech. Just trying to watch the body language of some of the players, especially as the game got further in, watching Drones' body language, his eyes. I mean, it's almost like those guys knew that this was not their night.
Big time.
I mean, if you look at their first drive after we scored, they had 9 plays, 89 yards. They were about to score, tie the game up, change momentum a little bit, and we make a great play on the tackle and force a fumble, which allowed us to then march down 97 yards and score another touchdown to go up 14-0.
Huge momentum change.
That feels like a huge moment.
Yeah. I mean, talk about not having any quit. That was Rome. What? No. That was Mac. That was Mac that came chasing them down, getting the strip, and then our guys having situational awareness to jump on that ball. I mean, all night we had plays like that. I know you're going to yell at me for saying Jerome Carter because they all call him Rome. But talk about a guy who's just making plays every time the opportunity is there. That interception, he brings that down at a critical point. You know, in games when you're playing these opponents where your room for error, your margin for error is less, you've got to make those plays. And the guys all just made those plays, whether it was a receiver catching a ball over, you know, their right shoulder where no one else could get, was the interceptions. I mean, a crazy catch across the one-handed catch across the middle and making a couple guys miss. Like, our guys on just about every single occasion where they had to make a big play, guys did all night long.
Yeah. There's a lot of places we could start if we want to start diving into this game a little bit more. But I think the first place we should start is up front with the big dogs, because they were phenomenal last night. Just check, take a look at these pass blocking scores from last night, Aaron.
That's a lot of green.
Right. That's a lot of green from PFF. Also, I want to point out this: 3 hurries. They only allowed 3 hurries all game long. I don't think we've ever seen a better pass blocking game from Old Dominion ever.
Hayden, if in your games, if you could only be hurried 3 times, I mean, how are you feeling about that?
That's awesome. I'm sure everybody in the building is happy about that, because if your O-line can play like that every week, you're going to be a really, really tough team to beat big time. So yeah, I'm that's exciting. I wouldn't have even realized that unless you read it out loud. Just, it's not something you normally think of, you know, unless you're looking for it specifically. So that's a big time stat there for sure.
And it's one that they've showed consistency of in the first 3 games. They're giving Colton the time to, whether either he's making the throw or get outside of the pocket to then make a throw on the run, which he made some big time throws last night on the run. Hayden, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and if I'm not mistaken, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I wasn't as in tune last year because of, you know, I was often playing at the same time, but I don't know if it's true. In the last 2 years, that Old Dominion's been one of the most sacked teams in the country. Is that, you know, kind of fair to say?
That's correct.
You are correct.
Yeah. So the fact that they're able to get this momentum against a Virginia Tech team. You know, most Sunbelt teams aren't going to have as talented defensive line as Virginia Tech. So if they can, you know, just keep that momentum, it'll be a really, really fun season, a fun offense to watch.
But Mike, you're going to be proud of me, man, because like 2 or 3 days ago, I was on YouTube and I watched this video from this guy, and he talked about watching the game, like as a fan, different ways to watch the game. And he explained how most fans watch the game. They follow the ball all the way through. And he showed a few different ways, but one of the ways was just focusing on both the offensive and the defensive line. He goes, you watch the line, watch the O-line, you'll have plenty of time to follow the ball afterwards. And so last night, I really focused a lot on watching both, you know, when we were on offensive, defensive, our lines. And I would have to say, like, if you were to switch the uniforms, you know, people would have believed that our line play on both sides would have been the P14 because we kind of pushed them around all night long.
Yeah, since you hit on it on the defensive line, let's look at this pass rush numbers for our side of the ball. In one game, we created 19 pressures and 4 sacks. So that's a total of 23. That's a plus 20 number on what Tech did to us. Gotta say, I'm impressed with Jackson Forrest, the true freshman. Gets 5 hurries on his 28 pass plays that he was in.
He did that last week too,
fantastic.
Right?
Fantastic. That was Hunter Malecki last week. This week is Jackson Forrest is the stud. Both true freshmen. So really crazy to see that from some guy that was at prom a few months ago.
You know, but talk about green shoots and opportunities. Obviously, last week we were having a discussion about, you know, Jason stepping away, Koa being injured. But we also said, hey, there's opportunity for guys. And these young guys are stepping up, which is really awesome to see.
Yeah, it's I want to say that this recruiting class that they did this all last offseason might have been their best performance we've ever had. From both the high school level and the JUCO level. And we saw guys that are brand new to the team contributing all over the field last night.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that stand, well, a lot of guys stand out. Let's start with passing. I mean, right off the bat, you're talking about junior college guys, Ja'Cory Thomas and Trey Brown, making big plays all night long. That was the big question mark coming into the season. Was, you know, Colton's back, the offensive line, you know, there weren't a lot of questions other than one spot, but the receiving core, that was the huge question. And last night, they may have answered some of those questions.
Yeah, the other thing that I really liked about last night with those receivers is when they would make mistakes, they almost, Colton immediately went back to them and gave them an opportunity to make up for it. So we see, like, Ja'Cory drops a ball. Almost the next possession, he goes right back to Ja'Cory and makes an amazing play. Obviously, Colton's got that trust in his receivers, but they're earning that trust with plays like that, bouncing back that quickly.
So, Hayden, two questions. One, how difficult is it when you have a huge turnover at the receiver position of you getting on the same page with guys coming in? And then the second question being, hey, when you make a really nice throw – and a guy happens to drop it, how important is it to get back to that guy quickly?
Yeah, I think the first part of your question with, you know, turnover in college football, I think a lot of that stuff is worked out in the offseason. We're working from January when we come back until, you know, the kickoff of the first game. So as much as we could possibly get on the field as a group, get in the field, fit in the film room or meetings with coaches, that's where that trust is built with the new guys, the ability to learn. And, you know, as a leader, as a quarterback, part of your job and your role is to make sure that your guys feel ready to play, you know, mentally, physically, they trust you. Because that's the biggest thing is, do these guys trust me to get them the ball? Do they know that I know what I'm doing, that I'm reading the defense, that I know the playbook? because those guys play a lot harder for somebody that they trust and respect. So that's kind of the first part, is that stuff starts early in the off season. You know, I'm sure Colton had those receivers out there, you know, all the time in the summer, in fall camp, working on timing and routes. And, you know, Colton's trying to make sure that they're seeing the same picture with their offense and how it works in the passing game. And then I apologize. What was the second part of the question there?
When you make a really good throw and a guy just happens to drop it, how important is it to get back to that guy quickly?
Yeah, it's huge. And I think the answer to my first question in part answers the second one. I think that trust and relationship is built in the off season, you know? So, you know, I look at, you know, Ali and I know that if he drops a ball, which didn't happen often, he knows that I'm going to keep coming back to him because we've built that connection. We've built that relationship. And it's just, you know, walk over to him. Hey, next play. We're good. Next play. That trust and that relationship is something that is what makes the game move as a quarterback. And I think there's some receivers that handle that better than others. Some guys that you really have to, you know, some guys you might just leave them alone and just get them the ball on the next drive. But I think as a quarterback, the more vocal and supportive you can be, the better teammate you can be. Or even if it's a, hey, you know, I got to put this in a better spot for you. That's on me. I'll get you next time. You know, kind of just taking ownership, because everybody can always be better. And so I think it's kind of a two-way street as a quarterback.
So, Mike, before your next question, do you think now would be a good time to give Afterglow a little bit of love and then go to Fade Gary?
Well, I think given the conversation on the quarterback, maybe we talk about Colton real quick and then we can go to that. What do you think?
That'll work.
All right. So, Hayden started this episode by talking about how great Colton played last night. And he hit the nail on the head. If you look at for this season, he had his best performance as a passer. And damn. I think it's his best in his time in Old Dominion, including that great game against Troy. The one thing I wanted to point out here, he has 13 big-time throws graded by PFF. Last night, 5 of them were in the same game. And looking deeper at his numbers, they were all deep balls. So he was 5 for 8 last night on the deep ball for 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's something that we take those deep shots, right? We have since Decker got hired, but we've never had that much success on them in one game since Decker's been hired.
No. And I suck at looking at this kind of stuff, but one thing that sticks out to me really, really quickly, Mike, is the yards per attempt. So in the first game at Indiana, our yards per attempt are less than 4.5 yards. Last week, we expected to be able to go down the field a little bit more. That's what I was looking for, those kind of intermediate passes. And we were just under 11 yards per attempt. This week, 12.5 yards per attempt. So like you were saying, Hayden, earlier, is, man, if you're able to spread people out, you can effectively run the ball. Like, you got to make choices as a defense. And that really has got to be difficult, especially if you're being kept off balance. What do you do? You know, where do you go?
Yeah, big time. I think if those guys can connect on deep passes like that consistently, that's what makes the offense go. That's the heart and soul of that offense, is number one, run the ball. Number two, how can we throw the ball over your head? So if they can do both of those things that effective, they're going to be really tough to stop, because the momentum will continue to build. Really, as a quarterback from Colton and the receivers they have right now, just give them a chance. Just let them touch it, you know. Keep the ball in balance. Keep it in play. Miss inside. Let them run under it. You know, at the end of the day, if you trust your receivers enough with the talent those guys have at receiver this year, just give him a chance. You know, really, as a quarterback, just don't mess it up. So I think Colton did a really nice job of just giving those guys a chance yesterday.
Awesome.
I need to add this. So we talked about he had struggled against Indiana on the medium and deep throws, right? So obviously we already highlighted how well he threw with the deep ball yesterday. But he was also 5 of 6 on the medium throws between 10 and 20 yards. So he goes 10 of 14 for any pass past the first down marker, you're going to win some games throwing the ball like that.
You're going to win a lot of games like that. And you're going to make fans happy. And you know what else makes fans happy? Good beer and a cool place to hang out with. Hayden, do you are you able to stick around for a little bit longer after the break?
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. Well, let's go to a little bit of Afterglow, Faye Gary, and we'll be right back.
What's up, Monarch fans? Gary here with your Faye Gary picks for week four. What a night in Blacksburg on Saturday. Total domination by the Monarchs. We've been waiting for a win like that for a very long time, and I was very excited that I was there in person to be able to witness that beatdown. It wasn't the only winner on Saturday. Faye Gary picks last week went 2-1, bringing us to 8-4 on the season. None of them were too sweaty. They were the two wins, won easily. The loss was just never going to happen with Western Michigan's offense. So let's head to week four and get our picks. Let's start you off with a fun one. Arkansas at Memphis, over 62.5. Neither team has much for defense. Arkansas has been giving up a ton of points. This should be a fun shootout in Memphis. Second pick this week, taking East Carolina plus 7.5 at home against BYU. Got travel across the country for BYU. They really haven't played anyone that's given them a bit of a challenge. Think this ECU team is getting up to speed faster than people think. If you watched them last week, just destroy Coastal Carolina. So give me the Pirates plus 7.5 or better. Final pick for week four. I'm making you watch an ugly game late on Saturday night. UTEP minus 3.5 against ULM. It's a 9 o'clock kick. ULM is rough. UTEP's excited to be home. They just came off a close game with Texas over the weekend. I think they shut down the ULM offense and covered this 3.5 pretty easily. Good luck, everyone. Go Monarchs.
Man, I'm still tingling from last night. I'm not sure if it's the my ridiculopathy from all that flight deck time or if it's just that win last night. But all right, Mike, where do you want to go from here?
Well, before we get into this, you got a lot of fun stuff lined up. I want to also shout out the run game last night because we haven't talked about what these running backs did last night yet, and we showed the depth we have at running back last night in a big way. Traquan Jones, the JUCO running back, 13 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. Bull Hargrove gets 7 carries for 36 yards. That's 5 yards per carry. Mark I, 7 carries for 26 yards with a beautiful touchdown run where he shows patience and then kicks it outside. And then we got to see Devin Roche back in the lineup. He gets 4 carries for 25 yards and a touchdown. That sort of depth at the running back position is going to benefit us extremely well in the Sun Belt. And it has me excited to see this team play against Liberty, which we don't get to do for 2 weeks.
It is nice to have the bye, give guys a chance to get in the ice bath, get some treatment, and be ready for that game. I mean, how nice is it to have 4 guys that you can legitimately put in the backfield and feel comfortable with, you know, without having a letdown?
Yeah, it's huge. Hayden, talk to us about the importance for you to have a running back that can block, you can hand off to, or dump the ball off to at any moment.
Yeah, that's impressive. The fact that they have 4 guys that they feel good enough about to even give them touches, let alone for them to play that well, is big time, you know, because as we all know, running backs typically struggle to stay healthy during the season, which is, it's part of the position. It's what those guys signed up for. But if you have four guys that can play and there's not much fall off, that's a good a sign of a really, really good offense. If you can trust all four guys to go out there and play like that. I think from, as it relates to my career, I was incredibly lucky to play with the running backs I did. You know, if you look at it, and I didn't think about it until just now, you guys talking about it, I was lucky enough to play with Blake for, 25 games or whatever it was at Old Dominion. And then in my 20 plus games at Western Michigan, I played with an All-American. You mix in an NFL stud, the best running back in the history of Old Dominion, to playing with an All-American at Western Michigan. It's pretty lucky. I didn't think about that until you guys started talking about it a little bit.
So, Mike, you mentioned fun stuff. I'm not sure if you're talking about interesting tweets or you're talking about phone calls from not just Monarch Nation, but Football Nation that happened to call the podcast.
Well, this is the work that you got prepared for the show. I was focused on the PFF stuff. You're focused on the fun stuff. So I'm going to let you lead it.
All right. So Monarch Nation-wise, Jay Harris, our guy, ESPN, coming through with the "Oh My, ODU football is all business against Virginia Tech." We were all business last night. That's great to see how in tune Jay is with the program. Chris Vanini, who, if you're on social media and you follow sports, you're probably following his account, but him basically just saying, hey, Virginia Tech decided to make some changes and remove some games from the schedule. The bad news is they're still playing us a little bit.
They those 2 years are very important there. 26 and 30, right?
Yeah.
Because they're going to hire a new coach. And one of their first games is going to be against Old Dominion. 2030 would be near the point where you're trying to decide on whether you like the coach or you want to get rid of him. We could have another coach bookended with losses to Old Dominion.
Hey, we talk about this all the time with the pros and cons of having to bring in a new coach, and usually you're talking about they're gonna need more money for their coaching staff. They're gonna need facility improvements. If I'm that coach, I might need them to cancel the rest of the series before I sign on, based upon that right there.
Can you guys go into the scheduling things with Virginia Tech a little bit? I saw a little bit about it, but I'm not sure I completely follow what you guys are talking about here.
So the ACC has been pushing their members to not play any road games at G5 opponents because they want to increase the volume of games they can put on the air and charge the networks for. So obviously playing road games at Old Dominion, not ideal for them. The other part of this, for Old Dominion's part, to get into these agreements is we were playing two P5s on the road every year, or a lot of years. We're playing two P4s at all. Makes the likelihood of you making a bowl pretty hard, because now you have to win both of your other non-conference games every year to just have a 2-2 record in non-conference. That kind of puts you behind the eight ball. And we weren't getting paid to go on the road to Tech that well. So if you're going to play P4 road games, you want to get paid for it so you can start funding this NIL stuff. So all of our future home games scheduled with Tech were bought out, and they canceled a few of them. And now we have two more games scheduled at Tech, and that's it.
Gotcha.
I think three games are canceled.
Yeah, three.
Yeah, I think we could have a conversation about, playing two P5 or P4 teams per year. I think that conversation could go on for hours. It's interesting. I had lunch with my athletic director at Western Michigan a couple months ago, and I asked him, I was like, my first year at Western, we played at Syracuse, at Iowa, and at Mississippi State. You know, so you think of as a group of five, you're starting off assuming an 0-3, you know. Now you have to win nine games, or you have to win six of the remaining nine just to make a bowl game. And that put us in a tough spot. But at the end of the day, like you're saying, that funds, you know, pretty much every sport for the entire next year. And then the same thing with last year. You know, we played at Wisconsin, almost beat them. And then we played at Ohio State, the number two team in the country, national champion. So I asked him, I said, is there an alternate way you think group of five teams can continue to make money without having to go play these games? Because what's the difference in money between the amount of publicity you get from playing in those games against Ohio State or Virginia Tech to winning six games and being bowl eligible? Do you get more money from becoming bowl eligible by guaranteeing yourself six wins and not playing those games? Or do you get more publicity and money from playing those games? That's one question that I always think of when I think of group of fives playing against power fives. And sorry to keep dragging on, but then I look at like my brother down at USF, you know, they play Boise State, Florida, and Miami, three top 25 teams in a row. Like that non-conference scheduling sometimes can get out of hand.
It's brutal. That's a great question. I mean, Mike, I don't know what your take on it is. I think my opinion, and I obviously don't work for the university, and I don't know, I don't have the mind of like Bruce Stewart and the folks who are behind the scenes and know all the numbers and how that all works. But I think you got to figure out a way to have balance. You obviously have to bring in revenue. And that's not just football now, but particularly in basketball as well. It's no different. At Old Dominion this year, Hayden, is they're going to Villanova. They're going to where are our three, Mike? That
Maryland.
Yep.
And Xavier.
That's right. So trying to figure out ways to bring in additional revenue to share out to the players, it's to be able to compete. It's got to be, you know, it's certainly a challenge. And I think everybody's trying to figure that out right now, because as a G5, you have that whole balance of nobody wants to play you, but if they, you know, but you still have to go out there because they make more money. I don't know how much we make in a home game, Mike, with the gate, with everything. But if you get paid $1.5 million to go play somewhere else, you might be netting more from that than you do from having an extra home game. I don't know the numbers.
I think what Hayden said was pretty smart. Bowl games and all that versus going 0-3 versus a schedule like that where you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. Because we talk about this, season tickets, that's a big important number for college football. How many did you sell and how easy was it for you to sell? Because if you have to go, I think the perception of the program being a winning program is huge. If you win eight games, nine games a year, people just assume you're a great program and you're consistent and you're going to be able to sell tickets a lot easier. That's a lot easier with three G5s or two G5s and an FCS on the schedule than three P4s or two P4s on the schedule. We have been battling that perception for the last couple of years at Old Dominion, despite playing exceptionally in Sun Belt play. Like we've had chances to win the East, two of the last 3 years, and we're going to have one this year. And yeah, when people look back those last two seasons, for the majority of people, they don't look at it as success because they're thinking about the total picture of what the record was.
I think that's spot on. I wrote a research paper about that for one of my grad classes this year and basically talked about the risk to reward of playing games like that as a group of five school. You know, I'm more specifically talking about my time at Western just because it's the most recent, but you know, what is the risk to reward of us Western Michigan going to play against Ohio State? You know, is it worth the potential for injury for, you know, $1 million? Is it worth the public, the fans' perception of the team to be tarnished when we lose by 60, even though we're, you know, a top three team in the MAC last year at that point in the season? You know, that's very interesting. I think that's a great point that you made.
All right, Aaron. What do you got next for us?
All right. I got a few more of these things. Okay, this is not from Monarch Nation. This is from Hokie Nation. Everything was not fine. Sean Glennon, you are correct. And Virginia Tech agreed this morning.
That's former Virginia Tech quarterback Sean Glennon.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not great to have an NFL quarterback posting that about your program right now.
No, and every Hokie fan last night, as they panned around the stadium, and we even had a few of them in Afterglow, they were not happy. But now, I mean, maybe they're happy now. I don't know. They're happy that now they have hope. We talk about every football season, there's hope. So now they have hope. They just have to figure out. I mean, they still have most of the season left, right?
Yeah, they have 9 games left.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And given where they're at, you fire the coach. These players now have 30 days to enter the portal if they want to. Or they can decide they're going to redshirt and they're not going to play anymore for Virginia Tech. It's going to be really interesting to track that to see how many guys opt out to save their season, like that year of eligibility.
Because they've only played 3 games.
Right. And if enough players do that, they might have trouble winning more than just the Wofford game.
I'm curious, Hayden, what's your thoughts on that, man? Like, if you, in that kind of situation, how do you, does the locker room stay together? Do guys rally and, you know, just, I don't know. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I'm going to answer with a question to you guys first, and then I'll kind of give my take. If you're the athletic director at Virginia Tech or the admin who's making that decision on, you know, letting Coach Pry go, do you wait until week 5 or 6 of the season so guys can't redshirt and quit on the season? Or do you do what you did and give them a chance? You know, because at the end of the day in college football, all Virginia Tech cares about is winning. All they care about is money. So you're not going to win games or make as much money if they do what they did and all their players choose to opt out. So for you, my question is to you, if you were admin, do you wait, even though it's not the right thing to do, do you wait until week 5 or 6 and fire your coach and eliminate the possibility of some of those guys not being able to redshirt?
My guess is there are a lot of conversations that are happening with really big donors and that whole money side. But I don't know. Mike, you probably have a much more nuanced opinion.
Hey, if the right donors call you and say, hey, I'm not contributing until he's gone, you got to do what you got to do. I think it's probably good for the players that they did it this early because they get to make a decision on their future. When you think about a college football players, most of these guys are not going to the NFL. So each year of eligibility is so important because there's not that many of them. And then to have to be wasting a year of eligibility on a team where the coach is already fired and the fan base is kind of given up on this season, that would suck to have to waste a year of eligibility in that situation. So credit to the AD for listening to the fans, the donors, but also giving these athletes an opportunity to maybe get an extra year to play somewhere else and have a good end to their career. I can't imagine how tough it was for the seniors that played for Old Dominion in your rookie year, Hayden. That had to have been very difficult.
Big time. That was very hard for all involved. Because if you look back at the talent we had on that team, it's sickening. You know, there's 10 NFL guys on that team, and we win one game, barely, against Norfolk State. You know, we had to go on a 2-minute drive to win that game. So, yeah, you hit it right on the head. And, I mean, respect to Virginia Tech's AD, because I assume that most ADs would look at the question that I said and, you know, basically, like, do they hold on to the coach so these guys have to play or can't redshirt? So I think the AD did a lot of the players a huge favor by giving them that option, essentially.
Yeah. And you know what? It may – I don't know, what's the new rule that's coming out, Mike, that looks like it's going to be signed in December. A whole 5 for 5.
You'll have 5 years to play. 4 years, I think.
Regardless.
Right. So, I don't know how they're going to do how injury redshirts. I think the redshirts are just out the window at this point. But will they have injury waivers so guys can get an extra that extra year or not? I don't know. And then
I don't either.
For JUCOs, when does their clock start? Because they're technically not NCAA athletes yet. So do they come in as 21, 22-year-olds and still have 5 years left?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that turns out. Yeah. But the other thing I think about when I see these fans demanding change, I don't know if they realize – you talked about the money part of it. The new coach is going to say we need to make some investments, whether it's NIL or facility-wise or recruiting budget or staffing budget. They're going to ask for something. But you also have to pay the other guy that's not coaching anymore. And you're going to have a completely new roster that might also suck. There's no guarantee the next guy is going to do anything better. You're going to be starting from scratch, essentially. So, I don't know. It could be pretty bleak in Blacksburg for a while.
Well, I mean, you're seeing it play out. What do they have to pay Fuente? About $10 million, I think it was. Or maybe it was less. Maybe it got negotiated down a little bit. And then, you know, obviously Pry came in, and now his is, what, just under $6 million, I think. Those are real numbers. That's a lot of doubloons. I mean,
and there's, I mean, some of the stuff you're seeing is the AD might also get fired, and he's getting paid $1.25 a year. You're going to have to pay that out until his contract's up in 2029. And then you also need to hire a new athletic director to replace him, whose salary is probably going to also increase.
And if I was that guy, I'd want to be able to hire the football coach.
Right. Which it doesn't look like he's going to have the opportunity to. They're saying a committee run by someone that has not been assigned yet as the chair will hire the next coach.
Yeah. All right. We want to take some of these fan calls or play some of these fan calls?
All right. Let's knock them out.
The first one is from TK. He's not a Monarch fan. He's actually an App State fan that was watching the game.
Hey, this is TK from the paper, App State fan. Sad right now. Just watched our team get destroyed. But I saw what y'all did and just want to give y'all congrats. I'm not going to listen to the podcast, so I won't hear this. But, hey, kudos and good luck. That was awesome and celebrate accordingly.
All right, TK. Well, appreciate you watching the game, man. And you're not hearing my thanks anyways because you ain't watching a podcast, though. So. All right, but we're sure that Gage will be. Gage is in Boston. Monarch alum.
What's up, Monarchists? This is Gage calling. I'm in Boston, 23 grad. This game was way better watching on my couch than it was in person in 22. I'm from Blacksburg. It's that much sweeter. We out-physicaled them on the O-line, the D-line. Colton was phenomenal tonight, accurate. You know, if he was in a tough situation, throw it away rather than risking the pass. I mean, we looked like a dominant program. And what shocked me the most is that we carried that same mentality and really the same level play, style play, and, you know, the offense that we had at NC Central or versus NC Central, Delane Stadium. Great win for the boys. Hope it's a party in Norfolk tonight.
You know, we had a party in Norfolk. But the guys were back.
We didn't mention this. Last week, you asked about Vanderbilt and what if we did this to Tech? And we all said it was probably unlikely because Tech's defense is pretty good. I was wrong. You were right. We did that.
That's a first.
It still is crazy to me that, 500 plus yards combined on the ground and through the air?
Yeah.
And we really didn't even try to do anything in the fourth quarter. So no. It could have been a lot worse.
Could have been. Now, Hayden, I don't know if you know Ryan Jensen. He's one of the old school offensive linemen with the rebirth of Old Dominion. But Ryan, out in California, just like Colton was a California guy, is our next call.
This is Ryan Jensen calling in from the Golden Gate Bridge with a huge smile on my face because I just watched the best offensive performance and probably the biggest win in the program's history take place last night. That offensive line put the belt to the ass of Virginia Tech. That was the most impressive, dominating thing. They showed a 4-2 front. They were pulling around. They were dominating. The pass pro looked excellent. Colton Joseph's throwing dots all night. I don't want to hear any more questions about if that dude can pass. He can do it all. And the new running back, I think his name is Jones, stud, Roche, stud. All around, everyone was great. They dominated. Defense made plays. We won the turnover battle. And we were more disciplined. They had so many penalties. So I am very proud to be a Monarch. I'm proud of this team. And I hope we step forward and take the Sun Belt. Let's go.
Ryan is a passionate dude, man. Love it.
I get fired up every time I hear him.
I know. If you haven't met him, Hayden, we have to make the connection. I think you guys would like each other.
Yeah, I'm ready to run through a wall after that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
He hit it all on the head, too.
Now, this is someone that you may have met while you were here. Michelle is an ultimate ODU fan, and somehow it seems like she makes herself multiply because she is at just about every event.
Good morning, Monarch Nation. It's Michelle. You missed a good one in Lane Stadium last night. They may own Sandman, but we own the game. What a perfect display of football last night from our Monarchs. And to watch those fans exit that stadium before halftime was very satisfying. We reigned in Lane.
Oh, boy. She was in Blacksburg last night along with another of our buddies here, Gary.
Boys, it's Gary. I'm up here in Blacksburg. The dust has settled. The fact remains, Old Dominion beat the hell out of Virginia Tech last night. I think we may have witnessed the death of a program with Virginia Tech. That place was cleared out pretty much as soon as we hit 14-0, 21-0. They started clearing out of there. It was nice to have a good contingent of a couple hundred ODU fans make their way down to the end zone to greet the team, and they came off. But what a win for ODU. Go Monarchs.
We got three more calls. I'm going to warn you, Mike, this next one, I'm not going to play the whole thing. He broke the rules. It's too long. But I will say happy birthday, David.
Hey, fellas. It's David Asbury here from the ODU blog. I just wanted to call in and give my 2 cents and got that incredible victory against Virginia Tech last night. What a game. Just straight up bulldozed them, 31-0 in the third quarter. That's unbelievable. Today is my birthday, and I just got to say that is a great birthday present to me.
And that's where I'm going to stop it because it goes on and on and on.
Happy birthday, David.
Performance, incredible game last night. We saw Colton Joseph just drop dimes all over, and the entire team just played outstanding. Things we saw in fall camp, spring camp, et cetera, just kind of all came together, and just awesome to wake up and have beat the crap out of the Hokies. Go Monarchs!
So before we go to the last call, I want to ask a question to both you, Mike, and Hayden. So Justice mentioned what's going on in camp. And we had an opportunity to kind of see behind the scenes what was up with the squad throughout camp and certain things that we didn't see, like, towards the end of camp and then the first game, and you start wondering when will things come together? When will things come together with the quarterback and the receivers? And obviously that has started to occur. Hey, and you talked about a little bit about the whole offseason and everything, but how long can these things take to really lock in where everybody's on the same page?
I think it differs from team to team. You know, one group might happen faster than others. You know, one group might take a while, and, sad to say, some groups never really happens at all. I think what these guys are doing right now is showing that things are clicking at the right time. You know, if you can be up 30 plus on a P4 opponent, you know, a Virginia Tech, that shows that something's clicking. So I'm excited to watch. You said it was Liberty next week?
In 2 weeks. We get a bye this week.
2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can't stand Liberty. So I hope that the momentum they have just doubles, triples, put the absolute beat down on Liberty and their preppy fans and coaches, and maybe get some revenge on Ethan Vasco over there too.
My guy. I love it. I love to hear it. All right, Aaron, what's the last one we got going?
All right. The last one is our faithful caller, Garrick, the Duke of Discipline, who calls every week, rain or shine, win or loss. Garrick's a lot of things, but one thing you can't say is he's not passionate.
That, my friends, is how you just absolutely open up a can of whoop-ass. Oh, I'm having too much fun with my bookmarks right now. Anyway, O-line with a clean sheet, Colton Joseph throwing dimes and just making really smart decisions, probably his best game in his career thus far, in my opinion. D-line was fantastic and really allowed the DBs to strap up. Frink, man, what a smack. I forget, it was like third quarter, but we got a field goal kicker with a boot. Jared's got to watch out. There's so many wins we can talk about after this game, after the sad news came out about Jason. Really great to see this team come out and absolutely dominate. Just still would have liked them to have finished a little bit stronger. I know garbage time or not, still just got to put the nail in the coffin. Again, still too many penalties, and CJ Lott, brother, come on now. Bye week couldn't come at a better time. It will allow these guys to soak this one in and then just decompress and shift their focus to that school in Lynchburg. So Castle better be packed in 2 weeks, and rain on, and RIP to the Brent Pry era at Tech.
So see, Hayden, Garrick feels the same way as you, me, and Mike. He won't even say the school. He won't even say the name. It's that school in Lynchburg.
Can't stand those guys. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you guys will remember. I mean, as we all know, not much of a runner. But I'll never forget my first career rushing touchdown in college was against Liberty. And, you know, it took every ounce of my being not to chuck the ball as far as I could into the stands. Just because of pure hatred and passion for the Flames over there. So yeah, I hate those guys for sure.
Yeah, we all do. It's going to be a great atmosphere in 2 weeks, and we can't wait to soak it all in. We need to get our get back on Ethan Vasco. He's 2-0 against us.
Yeah, I'm pretty much tired of that guy. Just to be honest,
I'm guessing when he visited, Hayden was probably his host.
I was. I hosted him. So he's actually a good guy. I do like Ethan, but it would be sweet to get a win against him after, you know, what went down with him skipping out on becoming a Monarch.
Absolutely. I mean, he got us good at Coastal twice, so we owe it to him.
Yeah.
And this team's good enough to do it. All right, Hayden. I think this is a good place to close this. We get the bye week to rest and relax and get refocused for the rest of the season. But do you have a message for ODU fans to close us out with?
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been awesome. Good times. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of the season. I think this could be a special one if they can continue to carry that momentum they built last night. Colton keeps playing as well as he did. And, you know, a couple people hit it on the spot with the O-line play. If they can continue that, and defense carrying momentum and just continuing to make plays and complement each other as well as they did, I think ODU fans have a lot to be excited about for the first time in a little while.
Absolutely. And we talked about all this stuff on the team, and I should have mentioned this earlier, but Botros Alessandro last night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. We have a lockdown corner. But thanks again for joining us today, Hayden. Thanks, everyone at home, for listening. Aaron, you got any parting shots before we go?
I think we said it all, man. Rest up this week, because when that team from Lynchburg comes in, the stands need to be packed. We need to make a lot of noise. Truly be the 12th man. Have the castle rocking. and be there for the boys. That's all I got to say. Hayden, if you're ever in town, if you're here for a game, let us know. We got you, man. And go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.